And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 149. My name is Tom Harris, the host, and I'm coming at you from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, like we do each and every week, except when we're not here. Yeah. And it is just incredibly humid here in Chicago. I've got the fan on, so if you hear the fan in the background, you know why. It's because it has been hot and humid over the last couple of days, and the first couple of days of the year that I've been able to go to work without wearing a jacket. Yes, so we're starting to get into a little bit of warmer weather pattern here. So, this week, no surprise, we're going to be continuing on. We're going to be wrapping up our coverage of Thor, God of Thunder, the Accursed. Yes, indeed. And in absence of anything else more compelling to talk about, we are going to just go ahead and move along to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
Indeed, and this week we are covering, no surprise, I'm sure, Thor, God of Thunder, number 17. The Accursed, the Conclusion. Cover date of this book is March of 2014. Cover price, $3.99. Cover art is by Esad Rebic, and it's a somewhat different style. You know, I when I looked at the cover, I was like, is this Rebic or not? And I really wasn't sure, but of course he has the cover credit. So, yeah. Cover art shows Thor smashing Malekith right in the face with Mjolnir. Malekith is being thrown back and appears to be dropping the spear that he had. Again, it's kind of similar to one we had last issue, except it's like, I don't know, like a few moments further along in the fight, I guess you could say. So basically it's the same thing. And we open up to the splash page where, of course, we have the credits. Jason Aaron was the writer. Emanuela Lupacino and Ron Garney are the artists. Ives Fortina and Lee Luffridge are the color artists. VC's Joe Sabino lettered this. Esad Rebic did the cover. John Moisan was the assistant editor. Lauren Sankovich was the editor. Axel Alonzo was the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada is the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley was the publisher. And Alan Fine is the executive producer. And, of course, we have a recap, as we've had each and every episode here of this coverage of The Accursed.
The League of Realms is no more.
As Dread Malekith has outmatched the League of Realms at every turn, rumors of a traitor spread among the League. These rumors eventually settled upon Ud the Troll, whom Thor executed with his hammer Mjolnir. Fearing reprisals and losing faith in their leader, all remaining members of the League, excepting the Dark Elf sorceress Waziria, abandoned their oath. Determined to end Malekith's reign of terror and unite the Dark Elves, Thor and Waziria traveled to Midgard, where the tribal leaders of the Dark Elves, the Council of the Unhallowed, had been secreted away. But Malekith followed what remained of the League, declaring death for everyone, and Thor, due to a demonic centipede who had just been revealed as the League's traitor. Thor, God of Thunder, the Accursed, part 5 of 5. The God Who Saved the Elves. Now, with a title like that, I would be really surprised if the elves were not saved. And we open up to where we left off last issue, with Thor puking up a giant bug, and this giant centipede thing is crawling out of Thor's mouth, and Thor's in the ground going, and Waziria is saying, "You bugged him!" Which is either the worst pun ever, or I don't know what's going on. "You bugged Thor! That's how you've been following us!"
Yes, I had one of my dark elves slip a spell into Thor's mead back in Asgard before this whole ordeal even began. I'd been planning this day for a very long time, Lady Waziria. Let me guess, he thought you were the traitor. I did my best to make it obvious that we had a history. You told him what? That you were young and foolish once?
Foolish doesn't begin to cover it, Malekith, but I'm not a little girl anymore.
Oh, to be young again and unburdened by greatness. I almost miss those days when I was but an innocent elf with mere dreams of regicide and war. Goodbye, God of Thunder. Such a shame that you murdered that poor troll for nothing. And we hear a voice. I wouldn't say that. And the centipede's head gets hacked off by an unseen person, though in this panel it looks as though Malekith is hacking its head off, which it looks really odd and it doesn't make sense, but, you know, hey, anyway. We then get an ad for Marvel Superhero Mashers, which is just the dumbest looking toy imaginable. And we turn to the next page and we see who has come to the rescue. We see Sir Ivory. We see the dwarf, whatever his name is, Scumbeard or whatever it is, Screwbeard. And we see Ood the Troll. What? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I thought Ood the Troll had got his head smashed last issue. Well, we'll find out what happened. And they're coming in with the guns a-blazing, attacking all the Dark Elves, Malekith's soldiers. And Malekith's like, impossible. It can't be the same troll.
Where are the rest of the elves? Ood the Troll was promised a fight worthy of his awesomeness.
And Waziri's like, it's the same troll.
Don't look confused, dogs of Svartalfheim. It is time to stand and fight like dwarves, or Screwbeard blow whole place to hell.
And somebody's given Screwbeard his dynamite back because he's throwing it all around now. And Sir Ivory approaches Malekith. He's shooting elves left and right, and his guns a-blazing.
Malekith, let us see how you like the taste of my iron, villain. One bullet for every child you've murdered.
The great Sir Ivory Honeyshot, brave hunter of hummingbirds and pheasants, let us see how you like the taste of your own guts, light of bass.
And Malekith's interrupted by a lightning with a weird sound effect. Whoopsh. Anyway, the lightning bolt comes, whoopsh. Croom and smashes Malekith into a rock, and Sir Ivory seems as surprised by that as anyone. But we see the cause of the lightning, as you might imagine. It is Thor, and he is frickin' pissed, and he's leaping at Malekith, going Rargh! And goes croom and strikes the Malekith. The Malekith changes into a big cloud of moths, it looks like. And is unaffected by being smashed by the hammer.
You face the greatest sorcerer in all the nine realms, Asgardian. Malekith is reforming here. You will find I'm not so easy to kill.
Who said your death would be easy? Says Thor. And we here see another crack of croom and more lightning.
And we get an ad for the Winter Soldier. Actually, we get this gatefold of advertising the Marvel Now books, which I won't talk about. And so Thor is shooting lightning out of Mjolnir, and Malekith is shooting magic out of his hands, and kind of meeting in the middle, the kind of a energy vortex sort of thing.
I suppose you know a little something about sorcery yourself, don't you? That was quite the little pantomime you put together back in Vanaheim when you convinced me you'd slain the troll. Where exactly did you pick up that spell?
You don't grow up the brother of Loki without learning a few of his tricks.
And they're kind of still fighting back and forth with their magic beams or whatever. And then Thor strikes Malekith with a whoom and tosses him back through a wall. And Thor's encroaching upon Malekith here, who's kind of laying there with his sword drawn.
Well then, allow me to show you a few of mine.
And rather than attack Thor directly, Malekith is attacking the other Dark Elves that are here. And they're like,
it's Malekith! Defend the tribal council! Defend the... Rah!
And we get a little bit of commentary here from Malekith.
Pardon the noise, but I did just turn his kidneys into a pair of starving rats, and his blood into lava, and his eyes into vipers. And oh look,
That elf's beard will make for a splendid nest of swamp spiders.
Enough, says Thor. What sort of madman murders his own people?
A madman with a vision, and Thor's hurling Mjolnir at Malekith. Malekith opens up some sort of magical portal, and Mjolnir vanishes.
And the strength to see it through.
Mjolnir! No!
A vision of war, of realms burning, and of the dark elves of Svartalfheim standing over it all triumphant. It's a pity, really, that you won't live to see it.
And we cut to Lady Waziria and Sir Honeyshot and Ood, and they're just fighting in the middle of this big crowd.
The League of Realms returns, or is it the League of Mummers and Mimes?
That was no acting on my part. I thought the troll murdered as well, until Screwbeard and I found him wandering the woods of Vanaheim looking just as confused as we were. But then we read the note Thor had pinned to his backside, which led us here. Clever ploy for a god.
So I guess this means you weren't the traitor after all.
You sound almost disappointed. If it's any consolation, I did come close to murdering you on multiple occasions.
Thank you, my lady. It does make me feel better.
This for dwarves of Nidavellir, elf dogs.
And Screwbeard is he's throwing what looks like a bottle of beer. That's what it looks like. I suppose it's some sort of a dwarven hand grenade or something. And he's got a lit stick of dynamite in his other hand.
Where is the one called Scumtongue? Where is the murderer of my...
And Scumtongue kind of lunges out with a knife, tries to stab him, but he manages to dodge.
Huh. These ears can hear pebbles stir from 100 caves away. You cannot sneak up on this dwarf, Scumtongue the Tongueless. Now let us dance the blood dance.
And they do. They dance the blood dance. And, you know, Dwarf is getting kicked in the groin. And he's kept really on the defensive. Scumtongue pins his hand to the dynamite with a knife. And, you know, the fuse is lit on this. So it's running out of time. It's going to blow up.
Gah! You elves always with knives. Fight like dwarf with real weapons. Which dynamite and acid! Yeah, okay. This is starting to look bad.
And he's trying to free his hand, but he can't. And it looks like the dynamite's about to blow up.
The dwarf's in trouble.
I see him.
Can you reach him?
I can shoot the fuse if you'll stop distracting me.
And Honeyshot is trying to shoot the fuse. But instead we get shuck. And the dwarf has his hand chopped off by Ood the Troll. And Ood is like, move! And they start running, and then there's a big boom, and the dwarf is like,
stupid troll, you could have cut the fuse, not me.
You're welcome, dwarf.
Eyes front, here they come. Once more into the fray, League of Realms. For Alfheim.
For Svartalfheim.
For the trolls!
For my hand!
And the four of them go fighting against the dark elves, and it's all very colorful and explodey. And we cut back to Thor in his fight against Malekith one-on-one, and Thor is getting gassed or something in his panel. He's going,
oh yes, there are few sounds more pleasing in all the nine realms than the screaming of a god. Tell me, was it true that I heard being whispered by the spiders in Nastrond prison? That some horrible god butcher nearly slew all the gods himself in one fell swoop? Such a horrible shame that would have been. Think of the children, the ones who would have died without ever knowing suffering. It breaks my heart. And speaking of broken organs, I just turned your liver into a tangle of broken glass. What do you say to that, God of Thunder?
And Thor spits in Malekith's face. Looks like he's spitting glass out of his mouth. I'm not really sure. He spits something at Malekith. And he's like, Malekith's like, Garg! Thor's hands are crackling with lightning. He says,
I say, I do not need a liver to kill an elf.
And he's got this lightning fist thing going on. He smashes Malekith in the face with his fist. Knocks him down. And the Malekith is being surrounded by the Councilman, the Dark Elves. And they're saying,
ah, there you are. The Dark Elf Tribal Council. Good evening, gentlemen. Pardon me if I don't get up.
And Thor warns them. He says, Councilman, I suggest you stand back.
And we shift scenes, but not very far. We actually just shift out to the street. Remember where we left off? He had teleported Mjolnir away, and now we see Mjolnir returning to Thor's hand. And, of course, we're on Earth, if you remember. So Mjolnir is flying through the city streets, smashes through the road into wherever Thor and Malekith and so forth are fighting. See it crashing through the wall and bouncing off the back of Malekith's head before landing in Thor's hand. And Malekith is like, I should have sent that blasted hammer into the sun.
Aye, you should have. And now it's going to send you back to hell. Malekith the Accursed, prepare to...
Wait,
says the old man, the old elf.
The Dark Elf Tribal Council has done as you asked, Asgardian. We have put aside our differences for the good of our people, and we have reached a decision.
And we then shift scenes to the city of Asgardia over the skies of Oklahoma. And we have a kind of a ceremony going on. We have the Dark Elves are investing Malekith as their king.
Let it be known here today before gods and elves and all other lesser beings that Malekith the Accursed is hereby anointed King of Svartalfheim and Lord Protector of all Dark Elves. The Council of the Unhallowed has spoken.
King Malekith, this is madness, says Thor. He tried to slaughter you all, and you make him your king?
It looks like Freya is trying to stop him.
Thor?
No, I refuse to stand silent. I demand to know who is responsible for this insanity.
Isn't it obvious?
You are. You wanted the Dark Elves to stand together, remember? And so they have. Who did you think they would elect? A peacemaker? Have you met my people before? Dark Elves aren't weak little children looking for a mother to love and cuddle us. We only follow the leaders we fear. And as of now, Svartalfheim fears no one more than me. Many thanks for your assist in these matters, God of Thunder. Would you like a seat of honor at my coronation feast?
And Thor's not having any of this. He's like,
hear me, Congress of Worlds. You formed the League of Realms in order to bring this elf to justice. We bled doing so. One of us even died, slain by Malekith himself. You cannot let this murderer have his way to a throne.
And we have a little bit of reaction here from the audience. And specifically here we have the Warriors 3 and Sif who are watching.
Is it just me, or does this League of Realms seem most exceedingly strange? Says Fandral.
Yes, good Fandral, says Volstagg. But there's something strangely familiar about them as well.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. We see the League of Realms kind of staring back at them.
That fat god keeps staring at us.
King or no king, Malekith is still a wanted criminal. He belongs in Nastrond prison.
And Freya said,
this is true, Sir Honeyshot. If Svartalfheim would have peace between our realms, then Malekith's debt to Asgard must be paid in full. You may take the throne of Svartalfheim at your leisure, my lord, once your sentence has been served. What did you have left to go? A mere 1,000 years or so. I'm sure your people will wait for you.
I invoke the royal right to call a proxy.
A proxy? Why, yes, of course. If you can find a volunteer willing to take your place in the snake pits of Niflheim, then by all means.
I will. I will be his proxy.
And Thor's astonished by this.
Lady Waziria, has Malekith bewitched you somehow? Why would you do this?
I do this of my own free will, I assure you. This is the way it must be. This will end the bloodshed. My people will be safe once more. But beware, Thor, as yours will not.
I'm sorry, my lady, for ever doubting you, for everything that...
Never apologize, Asgardian, for anything that you are. You fight like a troll, drink like a giant, make love like an elf. Would that all gods were more like Thor. Now... give me one last memory to keep me warm in the land of the dead.
And Thor kind of gives her a big old smooch. And and then the guards are guiding Waziria away. And we just get a reaction shot from Sif here. And she's like, It's all jealous.
Give my regards to the spiders of Niflheim, my lady. I will see if I can arrange some conjugal visits from time to time.
I did this not for you, Malekith, but for Svartalfheim. Rule our people true, or I will see you in hell.
Malekith of Svartalfheim, says Volstagg, if you would seek the approval of this Congress and the peace between worlds that we all know you so fervently crave, then you must offer one of your court as an emissary. Who will speak for Svartalfheim in the Congress of Worlds?
Ah, I know just the elf, says Malekith.
Right this way, Senator Scumtongue.
This is too much, says Thor. This is too great an insult.
Peace never comes without a price, my son.
Peace? I see very little peace in our future.
And they put a crown of thorns on Malekith, who's smiling evilly. And we then shift scenes, and we are back in Asgard, and Thor is standing on the terrace and looking out over the Golden City. And he's visited by Sir Honeyshot, and he comes up behind Thor and says,
these dark elves, one could go quite mad trying to understand their ways.
Oh, I understand them quite clearly. They have played me for a fool.
You saved lives, Thunder God. Do not doubt that. You ended the bloodshed.
I am the god who saved the elves and doomed all else. With Malekith as king, whatever peace we have won will be short-lived, I assure you. No world will be safe, least of all Asgard.
Perhaps. But if trouble comes again, you now have a League of Realms with which to face it. You forged a brotherhood between beings who were raised all their lives to despise one another. Do not discount that. If there is ever a lasting peace made between the realms, they may say that it began here with us, with you.
And once war comes, where will they say that began? Asks Thor.
And we get another gatefold advertising thing. These things are frickin' annoying. And we shift scenes, and we see kind of the aftermath of what's been going on here. We see the Asgardians, and they're celebrating in a bar. Or I guess it's a restaurant, Simonson's Steakhouse. Yeah, I wonder if that's a shout-out to anybody there. And we see Lady Waziria. She's marching off into the spider realm. And we see Malekith, who apparently has washed his hair and had a perm. And he's sitting back on a flying tiger thing again. And, we get a little bit of exposition here.
Thus was born the legend of the League of Realms. A league that would inspire 1,000 new songs and sagas. Sagas that would tell of who and where they fought, of the names they gave their weapons, of the sacred bonds that were formed, of the brave souls that were lost, of the worlds that were changed forever. But mostly they would speak of a god caught between being a king and an angry young boy who loved the sound of his own thunder. A god who wondered every day if he was worthy without ever realizing that was the very thing that made him so.
And we see the thunderstorm happening over Svartalfheim and rain and lightning coming down. Just, never mind them that he's there, that kind of thing. We see Thor flying around. Then we shift scenes again for one last page here. We have a little bit of an epilogue. And we have one of the frost giants, and he is traveling with Malekith in a very fiery sort of landscape. We get a warning here that the sagas would tell of far darker things as well. And so Malekith is walking beside this frost giant. Why a frost giant would be going into this lava kingdom when he could just melt would be, it's kind of weird.
Are you certain this is a good idea?
Relax, son of Jotunheim. I know what I'm doing.
You had better, elf.
King Elf, and as I told you, the Asgardians have their League of Realms. Why should we not have the same?
The sagas would tell of Muspelheim, the land of eternal fire, and the dark pact that was born there.
Just let me do the talking.
And of war, the war that was coming, a war unlike any the Nine Realms had ever known.
And that is Thor, God of Thunder, number 17, and the conclusion of The Accursed. And of course, as always, we have a little bit of commentary to offer right after this.
The dawn of an age. The founding of a family. You know we haven't done enough research into the effects of cosmic rays.
We've got to take that chance.
Conditions are right tonight. Let's go.
They're penetrating the ship. Our shielding isn't strong enough.
I feel like I'm burning up.
Too heavy. Can't move.
Too heavy.
We're all alive.
I feel so strange.
You're fading away. I can't see you at all anymore.
Look what's happened to you. You're changing.
Oh, Reed, not you too.
What happened to me? To all of us?
I can fly.
We gotta use that power to help mankind, right?
And so was born the Fantastic Four.
For soon the Mole Man will have the entire world in his power.
I am the mightiest living mortal on Earth. And now, mankind shall feel that might.
The Fantastic Four. Little do they dream, they're the palms in the hands of Dr. Doom.
The Human Torch will be the Puppet Master's next victim.
You Earthlings can't change the way I can. That means I'm the most powerful person on Earth.
I've been expecting you, for I am the Thinker.
I vow never to return, my lord, until the Fantastic Four are no more and the planet Earth is no more.
You're in the presence of the awesome Ravatons, King of Kings, Master of Men, and Lord of the Seven Suns.
Fool, you're just a muscular freak. Blind the Hulk.
Stop! You must not enter the Castle of Diablo.
My journey has ended. This planet shall sustain me until it has been drained of all elemental life. So speak, Galactus.
Flame on!
It's clobbering time!
The Fantastic Four, from the very beginning, witness the origins of a legend. The Fantastic Forecast, ffcast.libsyn.com.
And we're back. And of course, I have a few comments to make about the issue, as I always do. I think it's a pretty good closing of the story. Now, there are no surprises here. It's a pretty much by-the-numbers plot. You know, you have the unexpected return of the Troll Ood. You have the party showing up out of nowhere in time for the last battle because, you know, they have Thor's cunning plan, and everything is happy in the end, and everyone's defeated except, kind of that Malekith isn't defeated as such. The one thing that was kind of a twist for me is that, they reveal that Ood's not actually dead. And, that's okay. I'm okay with that. And actually, I kind of prefer that rather than having Thor moping around for the next 12 issues going, I trusted Troll's head and he wasn't the traitor, blah, blah, blah. So they kind of dealt with that already. Artwork is pretty spectacular. I like this new artist. There's a really good team going on here. There are times when it's really, really hard to tell them apart. There's some pages, I think, that are fairly distinctive, and I'm going to assume that is Lupacino's pages. And I like, in general, the artwork in this issue. I do see there's a little bit of an influence here. I want to say John Byrne. And I know that might not be the right person, but to me, there's some of these pages look very John Byrne-ish, particularly Sir Honeyshot. He definitely is. He has this kind of, I don't know, John Byrne look to him, and in a way that the other characters really don't. The color in this issue is freaking fantastic. I think the coloring in the story arc has been one of the best things about it. And like I said, it's a kind of a by-the-numbers plot, so it's not one of my favorite things that we've had. Now, I put my finger on something that annoyed me a little bit about this issue, and the story in general, but this issue in particular, is that Malekith looks a bit off. And I couldn't really put my finger on it till now. But he doesn't look, he doesn't look like Malekith to me. Now, obviously, he doesn't look like the movie Malekith either, for which we should all thank our lucky stars. But I just think that Malekith is off model. And whether it's, in the early issues where he kind of looks like the Joker, or this issue where it's closer, but still not quite that character that I remember. Maybe nothing is going to satisfy me as far as Malekith's concerned unless, Walt Simonson is drawing him. But, I've been known to be like that. But anyway, so definitely kind of pedestrian story, but really, really good artwork. you know, the plot moves along, you know, pretty well. I think that the storytelling in general is pretty good. The whole puking up the bug thing seems to have been meaningless. Obviously, the bug was influencing Thor. They said that he, you know, got slipped it in his drink while he was still in Asgard. I don't know if I really buy that, because we actually had it revealed that Malekith was in disguise at the tavern, the gingerbread tavern. So that would have been the opportune moment, especially Thor being in a drinking contest. So that's not really Asgard, is it? Anyway, so that is about it for this week, folks. Thanks very much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Incidentally, a big shout out here to Peter G. Peter actually mentioned us in an article in Bleeding Cool a couple of weeks ago, and I would have mentioned it last week in the show, except I didn't know about it. I just found out. So we got a little mention there over in Bleeding Cool. So thanks very much, Peter, for that. And if any of you are here because you saw that little mention in Bleeding Cool, well, thanks very much for showing up and listening to at least this episode, and hopefully you'll stick around for more. All right, so with that, it is back over the Rainbow Bridge, back down to Midgard, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. Radio Free Asgard is the property of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor, his supporting cast, and the various stories that we feature on the show are copyright Marvel Comics and are presented for review and educational purposes, and we hope you find them entertaining as well. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elvesmith, are copyright Motsvent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll tell your friends, or leave us an iTunes review, or even join our Facebook group. We do love hearing from our listeners. And if you didn't like it, well, oh well, we'll try to do better next time. Once again, thank you very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.